The Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. During the break, we were huddling, we were discussing, we were planning, we were plotting. We are still trying to confirm the details for silly underdog picks. Some of you have texted in asking about silly underdog picks. Yes, silly underdog picks will return for season 31. Willie, is that correct? Because correct. Last year was the Pearl anniversary.
So
the
what
30th
does,
anniversary.
What is this year?
There is
it's no anniversary.
There
for
is
it.
No anniversary.
Well, let's just think 31. I think of Dave Winfield. Who are some other great 31s?
Kevin Byard.
Kevin Byard.
Ah.
I think for the local tie, that would be
local
it. I don't
shot,
Battier.
Yeah.
Shane Battier.
Shane Battier. Oh, wow.
That's my vote.
Yes.
I figured. Thanks a lot, David, for reminding him.
You're welcome.
The Shane Battier anniversary of silly underdog picks. Here's our tentative plan, and we are still forming the roster of who will be participating. The plan is Wednesdays at 5:20. That is the plan for silly underdog picks. Our plan is to also have a people's pick, as we did last year. And if the people's pick wins, you will win a prize of some sort. And they're usually pretty good. So silly underdog picks starting next week. The plan is Wednesday at 5:20. We wanted to make sure that Chris Sanders could defend his title.
Yes.
Chris Sanders has won multiple titles in the midday time slot. So this is his chance to do it in prime time.
Should I hit the bell? Was that a big word?
What word?
I said capitulating to Chris.
Capitulating. Yes.
Boom.
Here we go. Boom.
Can I get the definition,
yes.
please?
The country of origin?
Yeah.
Can you use it in a sentence, please?
Can you use it in a sentence? Just use it in a sentence.
Yes. Also, Matthew in Nashville wanted to know when Ask D-Mace is. That's at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
So 1 hour from now, if you've got a question for Derek, 615-737-1025. All right. We'll still take your reaction on Cam Ward, but I want to ask Willie and Derek this question. What is the most important question that still needs to be answered by the Titans roster-wise as cutdown day approaches in 4 or 5 days? And I don't know if this is less of a roster question, like who's going to make the team, because the player I'm thinking of is absolutely going to make the team. But here was my question as I was thinking about this myself. Whose starting job is more at risk, Chigakonkwo or Van Jefferson? Because I think both of them will start the season as the starters in their respective roles. But Alec Iamanner has been getting a lot of work in the preseason. He looks like a rookie. He's made his mistakes. Mm-hmm. But I think from what I've read from Titans practice, Titans coaches are pleased and are hopeful from what they've seen from Alec Iamanner. And I have been incredibly impressed with Gunnar Helm in the preseason. PFF notes that he has the highest PFF grade among tight ends with more than 10 snaps in the preseason. He also has hauled in all 5 of his targets, including a pair of contested catches. Of course, the touchdown grab last week in Atlanta. So I think Chigakonkwo will start the season as tight end 1. My question is there a chance that Gunnar Helm takes that job from him sooner rather than later? That's my question.
If he's better than Chigakonkwo, that's such a good thing. I would love to, because Chigakonkwo, for all of his faults,
he's a good player.
He's not a bad player. He's okay. He's not a guy that moves the needle. But if Gunnar Helm was better on day 1 of his rookie year, that's a good sign.
Here's because I'm thinking about past offenses, whether it was Zach Taylor's offense or now where Brian Callahan is running. Did they feature the tight end much? I'm trying to, because you get so caught up in the two receivers, Higgins and Jamar Chase. I don't know how they use their tight end in their offense. Because if it's just they sort of get in where they fit in type of thing, then okay. But if it's they're going to use these tight ends, they're going to be a pivotal part of what they do from an offensive standpoint. I can see more sets with Gunnar Helm and Chigakonkwo in a game together. It depends on how, because they were high on this group at the beginning of camp. They haven't done anything to sort of persuade me to think that they all collectively won't have a good season. Now, Josh Wiley, he may be the odd man out in this scenario. Then again, he may not be. But I think Chig and Gunner, I think they give that gives you a good 1-2 because I think they're different in what they can accomplish on the field. I think Gunnar Helm is that guy. You send him up the middle of the field, you expose the middle of the field. Some teams use that big body of his. And Chig is more, Chig can do the dirty work in the middle. Not to say that Gunnar Helm can't do it, but I think to me, Gunnar Helm is a red zone guy. He's going to get you in the middle of the field, and he's going to beat you in the red zone. Chig is more so doing the dirty work and getting his, you know, here and there when being in the red zone. So it just depends on how they want to use these tight ends this year.
I think I'm still looking at edge rushers. Like, is there any hope that they can get some semblance of a pass rush without exotic blitzing and high risk? You know, this is part of the scheme. They're gonna blitz, but there's got to be times where you get a pass rush without confusing the offense. You're just not going to confuse the offense every time. You've got to have somebody who can win some battles. I'm still looking for that, and I'm not sure I'm seeing it. But that's a big question.
Derek, what about you?
There's two positions that it's the linebackers and the defensive backs. The defensive backs because of L'Jarius Sneed. You know, will he be back for their first game? He's back practicing. He's off the PUP. But which version of L'Jarius Sneed are we going to get? It seems like they're putting all their eggs in that basket because they didn't do anything. And we talked about this yesterday with Chad. They didn't do much at that position to address it. I understand why, because they had so many other holes they were trying to fill. But I think they are banking on L'Jarius Sneed being, he doesn't have to be what he was in Kansas City, even though that would be great, but not what he was last year. That's what they don't want. One, they want him to stay healthy. But they didn't address that position like I thought they maybe should have. So the cornerback position and then the linebacker position, I think Cedric Gray has played well in camp. He's played well in preseason games. The only thing that concerns me about him is he's small. He's a small linebacker. So he's quick. He can get around blocks. But when you're asking him to take on, you know, those guards or those centers, you know, pulling and getting at him, can he do that consistently? That's the part. But he's a hell of a player. So that linebacker position, I don't think he's going to upseed Cody Barton. But I think as the season goes, if he's showing what they believe he can show, I think he will be pushing for more playing time.
Ricky on our text line answering my question, which projected starter on offense should be more concerned about their starting position, Van Jefferson or Chigakonkwo? Ricky says, Van for sure. I would cut him. And you know what, Ricky? On most other teams in the NFL, Van Jefferson probably would be cut within the next few days, but the Titans don't have a lot at receiver, so he found the right place for him. As Willie Donick has termed, Titans wide receivers,
the land of opportunity.
It is the land of opportunity. So I don't think Van Jefferson's getting cut, Ricky. Wrong team.
Yeah, and I think the real competition is it's Van Jefferson versus Io Manor / DK / the top cuts, the top wide receivers who are cut around the league, because the very, very best wide receiver who gets cut could be a Titan with the snap of a finger.
Mm-hmm. So just because you're on the roster don't mean you're going to stay on the roster. But, I mean, yes, of course, you want one of these young guys, or if not both, these young guys to really push, you know, those guys that are starting now and challenge them for playing time. Van Jefferson, again, I know people are knocking him because of the pass he dropped. He's a solid pro. In theory, do you want him as you know, your starting receiver alongside, you know, Calvin, you would probably not. He's better suited, I think, as, you know, a three. But I still believe he can go out there and get the job done. The guy is not a bad player. He's not too far removed from having a damn near close to a 1,000-yard season. He started to go downhill, I think, after that injury. He just never seemed to be himself again. But I think he's a good receiver.
Since that season in Los Angeles, where he had 802 receiving yards and 6 receiving touchdowns, the Titans will be his fourth team mm-hmm. since then, because he stayed with the Rams, then went to the Falcons, then to the Steelers, and now to the Titans. Over those 4 seasons, he started 30 of 45 games. He has 68 catches for 854 yards and 5 touchdowns. So he hasn't done much since his career season. Let's go to Adam from Portland on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Adam, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Adam, what's up, man? Hey, I wouldn't bench Chig, but I would consider starting Gunnar Helm quick, because I think it would set a good precedent for your team. Like, if you show out, you have a chance to start. That's what happens on sorry teams, man. Like, there's more opportunity. And I kind of want you guys to kick this around, if you would, Adam, because I did it with you guys last year, and I really liked it. If you were head coach of the Broncos, how would you beat the Titans? What would you do on offense? What would you do on defense to beat the Titans?
Thanks for the call, Adam. Derek, why don't you answer that question first?
Are we really going there? We still have
a
couple weeks.
We got like 10 weeks, don't we? No.
Okay, you don't have to.
I haven't started watching film on the Broncos yet.
Fine.
From a defensive standpoint, you know, a rookie quarterback, you want to blitz him. You want to give him as many looks as possible, blitz him, try to confuse him. That's what I would do. Will it work? I don't know. You know, Atlanta tried to do it to Will Levis, and he got 4 touchdowns put on him. You know, whoever played Mario to try to do it to him, they got 4 touchdowns put on him. So you just can't, even though that's what I would try to do, it may not work. And, you know, from a offensive standpoint, I go with the secondary. I test the secondary, you know, and see if they can hold up. See if, you know, if Snead is playing, see if he can hold up. That's what I would do.
I think Denver is going to play Denver's defense.
Yes. So
I don't know that they're going to necessarily feel like they have to do anything crazy. They'll just play their system and say, well, let's see if the kid can beat us. I think that's what's going to happen.
How about the other question that Adam, or the other Adam had, which was he would start Gunnar Helm as a sign to the team.
I would challenge back. I'd push back and say, what's the rush? There's mm-hmm. time. If he's good, it's going to work itself out, right? Even if the mm-hmm. opening day starter is Chig, I want the natural. It will be very apparent mm-hmm. when it's time, but you don't just force it. You got time.
Yeah, I mean, Gunnar Helm, as he's been okay, but he hasn't done anything that just made me think he undoubtedly needs to be the number one tight end. And that's how they're looking at it.
Not even that catch?
Not even that catch. Okay. It's just they want to see it in a NFL real game. They want to see it when the chips are, you know, when the chips mean something. That's when and if he can prove it, because they're going to give him an opportunity to prove it. He's going to play
a
lot. Yeah, he's going to get play a lot. But if he proves then that he can keep up with the big boys, he will eventually, you know, move Chig out of the way and become the starter. For one reason, I think, and one reason only, contract. Chig is coming up on a contract. Gunnar Helm, you ain't got to give him another contract for another 3 years. I think this is Chig's contract year, isn't it?
I believe it is, yes.
Yeah, so.
It's a big year for him.
It's a big year for him. So, people, just think about that. This is a big year for him. He has to make his money. So, you may get the best version of Chig that you've ever gotten.
By the way, within a minute of each other, 2 different texters asked about Amari Cooper. Mitch in Bellevue said, what about the Titans bringing in Amari Cooper? It's a very Titans thing to do. It doesn't make sense, because what is your aim? That is a conversation a lot of Titans fans are probably having. I'm sure we've had it or will have it. What is the goal of this season? If the goal is to win games, bringing in Amari Cooper probably helps that more than Van Jefferson or Alec Iamanner or Chim Dike. But should the Titans' number one priority be this season at least, winning games and giving the younger rookies an opportunity, to prove that they can be a part of the future when hopefully the Titans start winning again.
I think with Amari Cooper, if you were to bring him in, you have to get rid of, like, you would have to move on from Van Jefferson either through a trade or something. You would have to move on from Van Jefferson. If indeed that's what the Titans were thinking and they did it, I wouldn't be upset with it. I think that Amari is a upgrade, not a huge upgrade, but Amari has had sustained consistency in this league. He went to Buffalo, it just didn't work out. A lot of times when you do stuff like that and get a person at the beginning of the season or in the middle of the season, I think they got him in the middle of the season, didn't they? Buffalo, they traded for him.
They did.
That ain't going to work. It's just not going to work. As much as they try for it to work, it's not going to work.
And then he had the touchdown against the Titans in his Bills debut, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, see? I guess it worked for that day. But it's hard for it to work. But if they were to bring in Amari Cooper and say, we're going to do this, we're going to trade off Van Jefferson, I wouldn't be mad at that. Because now you're bringing in a guy that's still a good player. He isn't what he used to be, but he's still a good player. That helps open. And he doesn't have an injury history, at least not as of late that I can recall. I know he has been injured in the past, major injuries anyway. So you could bring a guy like that in, and yeah, he can help the passing game. But again, would you bring him in? Because it's more than likely he will remain your starter than Van Jefferson.
One texter to counter my point was, the goal is to give your quarterback confidence and not leave him on an island by himself with one dangerous target.
And also, it will balance. I think it will work itself out. Guys are going to get hurt.
Yeah.
So the rookies are going to get a chance.
Exactly.
That's why, there's a balance between – that's why they have Van Jefferson, Tyler Lockett, who I deem placeholders. They're there. They're veterans to try to support exactly what we're saying, but they're also, you're not committed to them so much that you're going to block if DK and Io Manor earn the job. You hope that they streak by. Amari Cooper is a little bit more towards the DeAndre Hopkins, right? Established guy that if you're going to bring him in, you're kind of going to be inclined to make him a guy that's going to play a bigger role. And if you're not, if he's just going to be a role, why would he want to come sign with the Titans? He's going to want to latch on with a team where he could be a role player on a team that could win.
Well, he has to put plays on film because, he wants to be able to go into, because whoever picks him up, say if the Titans pick him up, it's only a one-year deal. So if he goes out there and he play well, then that can parlay into a 2 or 3 year deal, and that'd be it for him. But I look at it from this standpoint because I go back to Baltimore, and I know Tennessee tried it back in the day, and it didn't work with Yancey Thigpen and Carl Pickens. It didn't work. Both of them ended up getting hurt. But we did it in Baltimore. With myself, was there for a year or two, and then they brought in Anquan Boldin, and it worked. It worked. They were able to distribute the ball the way they needed to, and we were a successful team. We didn't get to the Super Bowl, but we were a winning team, made it to the playoffs, ended up winning one game and lost, I think, in the second round. But it worked. But it gave Joe more weapons. And I think that's what it could be if indeed they choose to go. Now, I hope Van Jefferson works out and he can be what I think Amari Cooper can be, because they're going to need that second veteran guy outside of Tyler Lockett. I know he's there. But that's what it essentially can be if they bring Amari Cooper in.
When it comes to rebuilding teams, not just in football, I am usually on, Willie's heard this phrase before, team play the kids. I am on that. I am usually on that team. You hear it a lot in hockey with a rebuilding team that's at the bottom of the standings. Predators fans, you heard it. You may have said it yourself during the hockey season last season. The season's not going anywhere, so play the kids, play the prospects, give them more playing time. That's where I sort of am with these Titans. Play Io Manor more than a normal team might. Play Chimdike more than a better team might. But you need to see what you have, even if it means sacrificing wins. That's where I am on it. What about all of you?
I'm kind of with that. I think where they are. But I think the first few weeks, you still hold out a little bit of hope that you can surprise people, right? I think, and mm-hmm. This gets said a lot, D-Mates. I think you believe this. In the locker room, mm-hmm. the players are not down with the, yeah, we don't really care if we win or not. We're gonna develop the young mm-hmm. players, and that's why we're here.
Play the kids.
Especially when your record is 0-0, mm-hmm. you're like, let's see if we can beat the Broncos. Let's shock the world. Like, that's what sports is about, right? So you don't do that before the season starts. Now, the GMs, they can be thinking, let's see how it goes. This is what I hope happens. This is what I think is going to happen. But in the locker room, in the trenches, you don't go there. You agree, D-Man?
Yeah, you're not trying to say, especially if these guys, if they're playing just good football, they've shown they can play good football. If your starter hasn't done anything to, you know, be upseated, then you're going to stick with the starter. And you're going to allow that young guy to work himself into a real regular season game. Preseason is totally different from regular season. And anybody that tries to tell you different, they're lying to themselves. You can play well, and I've seen it many times, you can play well in the preseason. I've seen it many times. You get in regular season, I don't know, for whatever reason, those lights come on and you see people shrinking everywhere. Like, it's just like, it's like the damn Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It's just,
or George Costanza. It was George Costanza night last night.
Yeah,
girls know about shrinkage?
Yeah.
That's a Seinfeld episode.
I know.
I was pausing
for comedic effect. Although I do appreciate the pull of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Shout out, Rick Moranis.
Yes, absolutely. So that's what I said. So yes. Don't rush these kids in there thinking, oh, let's just get them in there so they can develop, time on task. No, some people don't need that.
Okay, 615-737-1025. We will get to in this hour.
I was in the pool.
We will get to in this hour some of the fallout from the news yesterday, which broke during our program, that the SEC is moving to a 9-game schedule. But before we get to that, we did receive a text about this subject, specifically Cam Ward, that I do want to talk about. 615-737-1025. Also be listening sometime this hour. I will give you the cue to call. Not right now. I will give you the cue to call to win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Mexican national team face off against Korea Republic at Geodis Park on Tuesday, September 9th. You can't win them at this very moment. I will give you the cue to call before the end of the 5 o'clock hour. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you talking Titans, who wrap up the preseason tonight on national television. Mike North on national television in primetime against the quote-unquote Minnesota Vikings, because I don't think the Vikings are playing any players who you know. So we'll call them the quote-unquote Minnesota Vikings. I do want to get to one text. And these texts pop up from time to time. Mm-hmm. It's natural when we're talking about Cam Ward. One texter says, look at the Commanders last year and the Texans the year before with C.J. Stroud. And I understand, Titans fans, you want a season like Jaden Daniels had last season for the Commanders. When the Commanders came out of nowhere and went all the way to the NFC title game. You would love that if Cam Ward did the same thing for the Tennessee Titans. C.J. Stroud had an awesome rookie season for the Houston Texans. They won the division title. Titans fans, you hope that Cam Ward can have that same effect this season. But need I remind all of you, let's go back to that story from Teron Davenport and Jeremy Fowler on ESPN.com earlier this week when they shared research that teams that start rookie quarterbacks since 2002, which is when the NFL expanded to 32 teams, are a combined 431, 655, and 2, a winning percentage of 397. So as much as we would all love for the Tennessee Titans to have the type of season that Jaden Daniels had with the Commanders and C.J. Stroud had with the Texans, let's keep it in perspective. That type of season is highly unlikely for Cam Ward and the Tennessee Titans. And if I am completely wrong, David will clip this and we'll play it every day.
We'll be the happiest people going. But that's the thing, is you can't ignore everything else. But this guy did it. Well, yeah, he did. Just last year. We remember. We saw it. We saw C.J. Stroud. That was great. But what about the other 50 quarterbacks? You know, like how many there are. How many have there been since 2002? I don't know. We've done all these exercises. Every day we've had these to kind of lay out what are the chances that this goes like Jaden Daniels, like C.J. Stroud. Those guys are so much the exception. In fact, yesterday's exercise, because it's fresh in my mind, was we studied the Athletic's 25 best rookie quarterback seasons since 2002 when the league went to 32 teams. Is
it
that
right? 25 and 25.
25 and 25.
Yeah, so over the past 25 years.
So, Adam, where were you 25 years ago?
Middle school.
So since Adam was in middle school, the 25 best seasons, C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels are the two best. 25 years. Adam's come a long way since middle school.
I have less
He's
hair.
He's gone to American University. He's watched a lot of Duke basketball.
Yep.
He's lost all of his hair or most of his hair. He says he's still got some, but D-Mace, you and I know. Mm-hmm.
We all know. Yeah. We all know.
I am balding with an ING at the end.
I want
but you also get the point.
I also have a son who turns 4 next week, yes. Which is we get just the shocking.
Point.
Yes.
We get the point that C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels are not the bar. They're the highest they're outliers is what I'm trying to say. Is that I don't know if that qualifies.
Yes, they are outliers. Yeah. They are outliers. Remember, I went back and looked at when we did that exercise. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go to the bottom. I want to know who was the 25th best rookie quarterback season. And one thing that I wish the article would have done, and this is something I probably could have done on my own, was I wanted to see the sample, like 25 out of how many. But even the 25th best rookie season of the past 25 years was Daniel Jones with the Giants.
Yeah, and that's the 25th best, but there's got to be at least 100 more guys, right? Or I don't know.
I'm going to look this up. I'm going to look this okay. up. While you guys talk, I will look this up.
I know who's not in there. Yeah. I know who's not number 26, Jamarcus Russell.
That's probably true.
So I appreciate
he's at the bottom. Wherever you start, start with him.
I appreciate the texter's optimism.
Yeah, and we're not saying he can't do it.
It's going to be hard, obviously.
It's like when you buy a lottery ticket and it says chances.
I just bought one today.
1 in 4.765 million. Now, I don't think that Cam Ward having a Jaden Daniels like season has
odds are a little better.
Okay. When you say a Jaden Daniels type season, there's two things you got to be. Are you talking about the numbers or are you talking about the record?
I'm talking because about both.
It's the combination.
I'm talking about both.
I don't think you can have. Well, you may have both, but you got to understand the Washington Commanders and the quarterbacks they faced. Because you look at the defense, and the defense made plays when they needed to, but they were playing against guys. The teams that had quarterbacks, they lost. Washington lost. The teams that were either playing backups or their starter, really, he's really a backup. They won all those games. The defense managed to do a few things here and there. What I'm saying is this. If you want the numbers, okay, let's take that. But the Titans are not going to play the teams that Washington played last year in regards to their quarterbacks. They're playing much better quarterbacks. At least I believe they're playing much better quarterbacks than Washington did last year, which helped them. Jaden Daniels played really good. But I think had he played that and they had played teams with real true starting quarterbacks, i.e. they played Baltimore, they lost. They played Philly, they lost. They played Tampa, they lost. They played someone else with another a really good quarterback, they end up losing. So if you're telling me the Titans are going to play a schedule like Washington did, and you give me his numbers, then I'm saying, okay, I think the record would be close to what Washington was. But if they're not playing that type of schedule, he may put up those numbers, but it may not equate to those types of wins. They were 12-4 last year, were they? Somewhere around there.
12-5.
Yeah, 12-5. Like, he may have that production. You look at Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams had the production, but he didn't. They were not winning.
The numbers look better than the results.
It's the combination. It's the combination for Jaden Daniels. Uh-huh. It's the fact that he looked like a true franchise quarterback, and the Commanders had the most success they've had in 2 decades. It's the combination. By the way, I believe I have an answer to the number of rookie quarterbacks who have started a game in the NFL since 2000. It is 142.
Okay. And Daniel Jones was 25th, so that gives you an idea of 26 through 142.
There are some rough names on this list. Oh, my goodness.
And even if you threw out guys who only started maybe 3 or 4 games, like I think Zach Mettenberger probably started a couple games in there. That didn't go very well.
Nah, it didn't. Not at all.
He's coaching at FRA, or at Father Ryan now, so he's doing pretty well now. Yeah.
Here are the quarterbacks who had one – rookie quarterbacks who had one start in their rookie
season. Was Rusty in there?
Let's see. Yes, Rusty
Smith.
Rusty.
Yeah.
Okay,
that didn't go very well.
Let's do a trip down
memory
lane.
Hey, got my man Rusty, man. Rusty cool peeps.
Try.
Kyle Allen, Ian Book, Anthony Brown, Kirk Cousins early in his career with the Commanders, Ben DiNucci, Randy Fasani, David Garrard, Sam Howell, Patrick Mahomes, John Navarre.
Is he a Michigan guy? Is that right?
Jamarcus Russell, Matt Schaub, pride of UVA, Connor Shaw, Rusty Smith, Jeff Toole, Clayton Toon, and Spurgeon Winn.
Oh, I remember Spurgeon Winn. That's a heck of a name
Spurgeon Winn. So
throw those guys out, and now we're down to 137. We get the picture here, but just keep this perspective. It's not like you're rooting against Cam Ward, but let's not set the bar and say that it's not going to work if he doesn't do what Jaden Daniels and Cam and C.J. Stroud did.
It could work. It worked for Joe Flacco, and his numbers were nowhere near what Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud was that first year.
615-737-1025. Okay, we will get to the SEC 9-game schedule coming up next. As you know, with the 9-game schedule, there will be 3 games against annual opponents. Who should those opponents be for Vanderbilt and Tennessee? 615-737-1025. But I did say I have a giveaway, so let's do that now, David James. Be caller number 4 at 615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets, a 4-pack of tickets, to see the Mexican national team face off against Korea Republic at Geodis Park on Tuesday, September 9th. Caller number 4. A 4-pack of tickets to see the Mexican national team face off against Korea Republic at Geodis Park on Tuesday, September 9th. That 4-pack of tickets can be yours. Caller number 4, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D. Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. The SEC announced on Thursday during our program, thank you, SEC, that it is officially going to 9 games in football starting next season. And the 9-game format has 2 main components, 3 games against annual opponents and 6 games against non-annual opponents, rotated such that everybody plays each other twice in 4 years, home and away. So it got me thinking about which 3 SEC rivals. Let me rephrase that because it was going to sound really weird. Which rivals should be assigned to Tennessee and Vanderbilt? And we'll start simply. Each other. Tennessee will be one of Vanderbilt's annual opponents and vice versa. I think we can all agree on that, right?
Yeah, but this is where I have a big problem. I have a big problem with this.
Okay.
And this is not about Vanderbilt, okay? This is about scheduling an equitable – fair schedule year in and year out. If my 3 biggest rivals are Alabama, Georgia, and Texas, and your biggest 3 rivals are Mississippi, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt,
I get it.
Is that fair? You play those 3 every year, I play the other. You know what I mean?
Understood.
Yeah.
I don't get it. What if you don't really have 3 rivals? You know, I know that we got to preserve the rivalry. No. You chose to go to 16 teams. Some of this stuff goes by the wayside. I'm sorry. It's a dumb thing. It's dumb.
I'm sorry.
Well,
but guess what? If Tennessee and Alabama don't play it every year, that's your fault as a league for letting 16 teams in. It was fine the way it was.
You're still going to participate in the exercise, even if you are protesting it by saying it's a dumb thing.
Okay, so I am doing this under protest.
That's fair.
Okay, because you should have a rotating schedule. Everybody plays the same teams over a certain period of time. There's too many teams in the league. You had 12 teams and you had two divisions, that made sense.
So you don't want to
and
preserve your rivals?
And even that wasn't perfect, but it was better than this.
How about two rivals? Like two rival games.
Before it was one, yeah. Right? Before it was one annual mm-hmm. game?
How about two annual?
But it's like, I got to play Georgia. Georgia's got to play Auburn. You can't just have Georgia and Florida. We got to have Georgia play Auburn, too. Because Georgia and Auburn goes back further than any of them. It's all subjective. Do you want to have a fair schedule or not? It's not fair.
No,
Steve Spurrier used to say this all the time. Oh, yeah. They used to play one, mm-hmm. right? From the other division. When there were 12 teams, there would be one team you would play every year in the other division. So you could have the rivalry continue. Right, with if there was an obvious rival like Tennessee, Alabama. So Steve Spurrier is like, oh, our rival every year is LSU. Ole Miss's rival every year is Vanderbilt plays Ole Miss. That was mm-hmm. Ole Miss. He was like, and we're supposed to play, and our rival in state happens to be Florida State. Okay, and he was like, I'm not complaining, but you think that's fair? Like he would be at least the one to tell it like it is. And now you're supposed to play three the same every year in a 16-team league?
Hey, you are.
That doesn't make any sense.
Listen, y'all have self-proclaimed yourselves as the greatest football conference right. ever. So if that's the case, then, hey, it ain't fair. Right?
It's
not
dumb.
Fair. Within the conference, if y'all are the best, it don't matter right. who you play.
The words I'm looking for are competitive balance. You are sacrificing competitive balance when you do this.
Okay.
It's like the same way with interleague baseball with the way they used to do it. Like, the Yankees played the Mets every year. And am I bitter? I love seeing the Yankees play the Mets. But when the Yankees are a powerhouse every year and another team in our same division gets to play the Tampa Bay Rays back when the Rays were awful, it's not equitable. It's not competitive balance.
Let's change the exercise then. So Seth,
he made you change.
No, I have
it,
better. I have a better idea. I'm pivoting.
I like you, Willie.
I'm pivoting.
No, but I would love pushback on
okay.
that.
Okay, I'm going to pivot here.
Okay.
So Seth Emerson of The Athletic wrote a story about this and took a stab at predicting the annual rivals for each SEC team.
He's predicting.
He's
right?
predicting.
So it's all subjective. Okay. We're predicting. Like, I can just let's go to the candy store and let me pick my three favorite teams that I want to play.
But then he based it upon proximity and everything else.
But yeah, go with Mr. Emerson. What's he got?
You got Willie hot.
I'm hot.
Your protest is duly noted. Okay? I'm going to read through these quickly. As I'm going through them, you tell me if any of these are unfair in your mind. Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU. Arkansas, Missouri, Texas, and Kentucky. Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. Florida, Georgia, Auburn, and South Carolina. That was Florida, Georgia, Auburn, South Carolina. Georgia, Auburn, Florida, South Carolina. Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Arkansas. LSU, Alabama, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Kentucky, South Carolina. Missouri, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Vanderbilt. Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri, Texas A&M. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU, and Vanderbilt. South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and Mississippi State. Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Alabama, and Kentucky. Texas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Arkansas. Texas A&M, Texas, Oklahoma, and LSU. And Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Missouri. Do any of those stand out? That's so unfair.
No, it's not. All of it seems fair to me.
What do you think?
I think if you broke, you went through it like a, like a house on fire.
Well, we do have limited time.
A storm rolling through there. Like, we need to process this, but I would bet you that there will be coaches who look at that list. If that ends up being the final list, I would imagine there would be some squawking among some coaches who are looking short term and saying, "Oh yeah." Like I think Vanderbilt comes out pretty well in that.
Yeah, they do.
What are Vanderbilt's? Tennessee
Ole
Kentucky?
Miss, and Missouri. No, Tennessee Ole Miss, and Missouri.
Ole Miss, and Missouri.
The first, the one that stood out to me is, that might be tough, is Auburn.
Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. That was the one that popped out to me as I was.
Well, Alabama's tough. Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU.
That's tough, too.
So, see, you can have an argument, I guess, either way. But if I'm looking at it, if it went
but why not as just they rotate wrote it
right
it?
Now.
Why not just rotate it?
They still going to rotate.
But you rotate all of the games.
No,
Texas,
but
Texas used to play Texas A&M all the time. And then they stopped playing for a long time. The earth continued to revolve around the axis.
They want them back, Willie. They want them back.
But you know what I mean? Like, sometimes
they want
the rivalry
that old
stops.
Thing back, Willie. They want that old thing back.
You don't have
back.
To do it every year. If you want to have a fair schedule that's equal for everybody.
But this is fair based upon.
It's not
this is fair, not, Willie. Because, I go back to this. The SEC is the most dominant conference out there. That's what the moniker is. They're the toughest conference. Besides, it just means better. But why if you're in the toughest conference where from top to bottom it's tough, then there's no complaining about how they divvied up the rivalries. Everybody has a tough schedule.
And I get that now, supposedly, when you're being evaluated, if you're playing an extra tough schedule mm-hmm. because of this, and you go 8-4, that should be recognized by the group now. The committee should mm-hmm. be saying, okay, it's 8-4, but that was a brutal schedule. But are we really thinking that I want to see it play out? Because I don't know if I believe it's going to go like the basketball, where it's routine now. If your record is 19-12 with the number one strength of schedule, and the other team is 23-6 with a really bad schedule, the 19-12 gets in every time. Football, we're still waiting to see how an example of that. It's never happened before. They say they're going to do it.
I think it's going to be one this year. It'll be an example this year where that strength of schedule, where it truly comes into play. But I think when you're looking at the way you may be looking at it, Willie, is from the old school sort of SEC, what it used to be. I think what it is now, because of NIL,
right.
Teams are better.
Well, okay.
You know, it's more even across the board.
That's true. And so, yeah, I think that's a fair point, that mm-hmm. it's a deep conference, and year in and year out, after 5 years, 10 years, that it's going to rotate how mm-hmm. tough that group of three is for every team. But also, in a given year, when it's not equitable, it's not the same for everybody, do we even care who wins the league? Like, if you're crowning a league champion, there should be some uniformity of how you come up with the schedule. I don't get that. Because when Spurrier was making his point, when he was saying, we're trying to win the SEC East, we're trying to win an SEC championship, most of the time the SEC champion is going to be in the playoff mix, then my pathway to that championship is a lot tougher than other schools in our division. But I don't know that anybody really cares who wins the SEC championship anymore. It's all about, did you get in the playoffs?
Let me read three consecutive texts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin in Hopkinsville. Someone get Willie a tissue. Greg, only people who complain about competitive balance are Vandy fans. One unnamed texter, stop crying, Willie.
I'm sorry, Willie.
No, it's fine.
First off, rude.
But I was talking about Vanderbilt? Vanderbilt, in that thing that you just read, that's not a bad draw.
Yeah, that's not a bad draw for Vandy.
Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Missouri.
That's not a bad draw.
That's two of the three. Vanderbilt used to play every year anyway. Ole Miss was the crossover mm-hmm. common team that they played every year. That wasn't a bad deal. Now, Lane Kiffin is on a pretty good run, but over the years, Ole Miss has not won as much. So Vanderbilt gets a good deal out of that. It's not about Vanderbilt. It's about competitive balance and scheduling equity.
I should clarify, Dustin said that someone should get Wally a tissue.
Wow. Not Willie, Wally.
Wally. 615-737.
Wally is wallowing.
Yes. 615-737-1025. It's Friday at 5 o'clock, so it's time for Ask D-Mace. 615-737-1025. If you have a question for Derek, call us, text us. It can be about sports, Titans, college football, memories of high school football.
Anything.
It can be about life, whatever you want. 615-737-1025. We do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.